Robinson, Wellington, New Zealand, April 24, 1893. Dear Brother Robinson, we received your letter and thank you for it. Willie has just come into my room and informs me a boat sails tomorrow for South Africa direct. It is now just 4 p.m., and I feel that I cannot consent to let such a good opportunity go by and not improve it. We are so far separated that when we can reach and connect by letter, we ought to do so. I have a deep interest for you in Africa, and from the light which the Lord has been pleased to give me in regard to that country, the Lord has many precious souls to hear the message of mercy and warning to be given to the world. If the workers will hide themselves in Jesus and let Jesus alone appear, if they will walk humbly with God, if they will be doers of the lessons Jesus Christ has given us in His Word, then the heavenly intelligences will cooperate with their efforts, and they will not take one particle of glory to themselves, but give all the glory to God. You will surely see of the salvation of God as you look to Jesus and trust wholly in Him, for then He will clothe you all with the garments of His righteousness. The great danger will arise from individuals seeking to be first. The Lord Jesus has no sympathy with this spirit, and will leave any soul who will seek for the supremacy for himself. We need the Holy Spirit of God, and we may have it if we will not exalt our poor, finite selves. Our work is to open the door of the heart and let Jesus come in. He is knocking for entrance, and there are some poor souls who are inquiring how they shall find Jesus. Why, dear souls, Jesus has been hunting for you, and He stands at your door knocking. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." Revelation 3, verse 20. Doubting souls, unbelieving souls, will you open the door? Jesus is standing at the door of your heart. Let him in, the heavenly guest. We have been in New Zealand a little more than 3 months. I have spoken 42 times and written 400 pages of letter paper. I have visited Auckland, Kao, and Napier. Our camp meeting was excellent because of the manifest workings of the Spirit of God upon human hearts in the conversion of souls and the reclaiming of backsliders, and the precious knowledge that many received. The reproofs given were not rejected, but brought souls to repentance and confession, and renouncing of their wrongs. Many things needed to be set in order: selfishness and unfaithfulness in those connected with various lines of work were discerned and deplored. There are so many in this country who want their own way. They do not see how important it is to preserve unity in plans of action and to work and act after the pattern, Christ Jesus. In Africa, in this and all other countries, every soul must understand that in order to work in Christ's lines in word, in counsels, and in plans, he must keep the prayer of Christ before him, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them, as thou hast loved me. John 17, verse 21-23. Oh, let these words be oft repeated, and every soul train his ideas and spirit and action daily, that they may fulfill this prayer of Jesus Christ. He does not request impossible things of his Father. He prays for the very things which must be in His disciples in relation to their oneness to each other, and their unity, and oneness with God and Jesus Christ. Anything short of this is not attaining to perfection of Christian character. The golden chain of love, binding the hearts of the believers in unity, in bonds of fellowship and love, and in oneness with Christ and the Father, and makes the connection perfect, and bears to the world a testimony of the power of Christianity that cannot be controverted. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. John 13, verse 34, 35. Satan understands the power of such a testimony as a witness to the world of what grace can do in transforming character. He is not pleased that such a light shall shine forth from those who claim to believe in Jesus Christ, and he will work every conceivable device to break this golden chain which links heart to heart of those who believe the truth, and binds them up in close connection with the Father and the Son. Then will selfishness be uprooted, and unfaithfulness will not exist. There will not be strife and divisions. There will not be stubbornness in anyone who is bound up with Christ. Not one will act out stubborn independence of the wayward, impulsive child who drops the hand that is leading him and chooses to stumble on alone, and walk in his own ways, following the imagination of his own heart. We believe in Jesus Christ. We unite our souls to Christ. He says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another." John 15, verse 16, 17. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. John 1, verse 12. We must not take counsel of our own hearts, but we must take counsel of God. Pray with humble hearts. Seek the Lord often in prayer. In the secret place, alone, the eye sees Jesus and the ear is open to Jesus. You come forth from the secret place of prayer to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Temptations come, but you press closer and still closer to the side of Jesus and place your hand in His hand. Then you gain a rich experience, resting in His love and rejoicing in His mercy. The worries and perplexities and cares are gone, and you rejoice in Jesus Christ. The soul is quick to hear the Father's voice, and you will commune with God. All criticism is banished. All judging of others has been expelled from the soul. There is no striving for superiority, which brings upon you the sin of the Pharisee and strengthens pride and hardness of heart. In Jesus Christ, there is fragrance of character. There is the developing of nobleness of character, of refinement and purity, for by beholding, you reflect the image of Christ. Sons of God, daughters of God, we must be like Him, and in this close relationship to God, we receive power and heavenly endowment, that we may work the works of God. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. John 17, verse 3. Oh, what joy we experience in the service of God! What peace, what contentment and rest! Members of the royal family, children of the heavenly King, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that, when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. 1 John 3, verse 2. With such a hope, such a relationship, with all the great and precious possibilities, should not our faith grasp much more than it does? Should we not be inspired with hope and courage that will not fail nor be discouraged under any difficulties? I would, in this letter to you, my brother, communicate to our brethren and sisters in Africa words from the Lord to you. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Matthew 5, verse 48. For God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3, verse 16. Now, this is the work given you individually to do, to have an earnest life in yourself. Cease to watch and find fault with your brethren and your sisters, but be sure that you have the genuine faith in Christ that you should not perish. Set your faces as a flint Zionward. Let the attractions of heaven win you, inspire your soul, and bring into your heart purity and tender compassion and love for all your brethren and for the erring. Take the straying ones in your arms, and be so joyful that you can bring them back that you forget all your worries, all your pain and difficulties, and rejoice. The angels will rejoice with you. This is your work. You have no time to pore over your bruises and scars and discomfitures. Ye are the light of the world. Matthew 5, verse 14. This is God's will made known to you, to shine as lights to the world. Let not your words be full of despondency and complaints. Show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Gather light from the light of the world, and then shine, every moment. Let not the hellish shadow of Satan enshroud your soul in dissatisfaction and complaining, for it is dangerous business. Just as sure as you do this, you lose the love of Christ out of your soul and become like a funeral pall to other souls. God has great claims upon you, individually, because of His great love manifested to you. All mourning, all sighing, all complaining from your lips is misrepresenting Jesus and gathering gloom and unhappiness about your own soul to diffuse to others. Your lamp, like the foolish virgins, has gone out. Oh, trim it, pour in the oil of grace, and let your lamp burn and send forth brightness in clear, steady rays to lighten and cheer the pathway of others. Take Christ as your strength. Stop every word of complaint and rejoice in a Savior's love. Ever seek to speak words of good cheer. Express the love you have for Jesus. Talk of His mercy, tell of His power, and you will light the pathway of some others who are weak in faith and in hope. Be an amiable, pleasant, happy child of God. Reveal to the world that Christ is your salvation. He is one whose presence is ever abiding, and He has power to keep you, to heal all the bitterness of spirit you have ever suffered, and to give you the garment of joy and gladness in the place of bitterness and mourning. All the universe of heaven is surprised at your silence in view of the matchless love of Jesus. Do not give to the world the impression that Christ has proved to you without form and comeliness and as a root out of a dry ground, and that there is no beauty in Him that you should desire Him. Isaiah 53, verse 2. Reveal Christ as He is, the one altogether lovely and the chiefest among 10,000. Song of Solomon 5, verse 16, 10. Oh, how His glory is dimmed by His professed followers, because they are earthly-minded, disobedient, unthankful, and unholy. How shamefully is the Lord Jesus kept in the background. How is His mercy, His forbearance, His long-suffering, and His matchless love veiled, and His honor beclouded by the perversity of His professed followers? How long shall this be? Is it not full time that we receive in the school of Christ an altogether different education? If the image of Christ is seen by spiritually anointed eyes, you will say, "And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace." John 1, verse 14, 16. Let everyone who has named the name of Christ depart from all iniquity. Lift up Jesus. Talk of His love. Tell of His power, and let self be lost behind the glory of His person and mighty power of the cross of Calvary. Oh, search and try your hearts before God. If His gospel is preached, you will rejoice by whomsoever it is preached. If you love Jesus, you will be individually laborers together with God, and you will successfully draw souls to Jesus, that in their turn they will, by their influence, draw other souls to the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. It is time we were endowed with power from on high. Satan and all his confederacy of evil are working with untiring vigilance to oppose good. Never was there a stronger combination formed to neutralize the lessons and teachings of Christ and to sow the seeds of infidelity in regard to the inspiration of the Scriptures and sap its very foundation. Then I ask you, where is the light and the power which shall withstand this terrible incoming darkness, which is covering the world like a funeral pall? Satan is moving with his power from beneath to inspire men to form alliances and confederacies of evil against light and against the Word of God. Infidelity, papacy, and semi-papacy are coming in close and powerful companionship with professed Christianity. The low views of inspiration, the exalting of human ideas from men called wise, are placing human talent above the divine wisdom and forms, and science, so-called, above the power of vital godliness. These are the signs of the last days. Let everyone who believes in Jesus Christ stop his dark, gloomy utterances and use his talent of voice in exalting Jesus and presenting testimonies that will magnify, honor, and adore the Word of God, illustrate its value, and extol its preciousness. The gospel makes itself known in its power in the consistent, holy, pure lives of those who are believers, hearers, and doers of the Word. The unity and love among believers makes the impression upon the world that the Word of God is true. Purely, boldly, faithfully, and uncompromisingly show the validity and divine character of the Word of God. Ye are my witnesses, Isaiah 43, verse 10, saith Jesus. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. John 1, verse 9. O, arise and shine, all who believe the truth, for the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Isaiah 60, verse 1. Let every soul humble himself before God, seeking him in all meekness and lowliness of mind. Then the Lord will exalt you by giving you richly of his Holy Spirit. Mercy and the love of God will appear gloriously triumphant. In much love.